The Ghost Writer by Geoffrey M. Matthews, dramatized from the novel by Diana Carter, with Nigel Stock as Strachey, Elizabeth Spriggs as Queenie, Robert Edison as Somerton, John Rowe as Richard Pullen, John Turner as Mr. Jupp, and Francis Jeter as Andrea. The Ghost Writer.
Oh, no. Come in.
Richard.
Hmm?
Lionel Somerton's here with a Mr. Forbes.
Show them in, Val, will you?
Right. If you'd like to go in.
Thank you. Lionel.
Sorry, Richard. A bit late.
No problem. Do sit down.
This is John Forbes, our new publicity director.
Glad to know you, Mr. Forbes.
Hi, Richard.
Please, call me John.
Oh, dear, young Forbes. No finesse yet. Comes from television.
Television to publishing. Bit of a switch, isn't it?
Not in my game. Publicity's selling, that's all. Forbes thinks books can be sold like soap powder. apologies, Richard. Internal politics. Now, tell me what you've got. Why the sudden summons? Well, what is it? A new writer?
In a way.
Forget the agent's talk, Richard. Well?
This arrived yesterday. A new novel from Carey Arnold.
But Carey Arnold's dead.
Andrea found it in the attic or something. Sent it on.
Andrea? Thought she'd sold up, gone back to Nebraska or wherever she came from.
No, she's still around.
In that collapsing mausoleum, thought she'd more sense.
Who is Andrea?
Andrea Arnold, wife, widow of the great Carey Arnold.
Who?
The boy's an infant. Carey Arnold, creator of the shining hero Xavier White, died in 1975. Well, to be strictly accurate, chucked himself off Beachy Head.
Sorry I asked.
Hmm. Dearest possession, not one of Carey's better titles. So, you're saying this has been stuck in some attic for 7 years?
No, Andrea is. Well, what do you think?
Carey Arnold's last book. Yes, we might be interested at the right price.
Correction, we'd be more than interested. A posthumous novel, Lionel, could be very profitable with the right publicity.
Publicity? You didn't know Carey Arnold, did you?
A bit before my time.
Man was a creep, crawled to the media, shot his mouth off on the box. As far as Carey was concerned, any publicity was good publicity. That's how he built Xavier White into a cult figure.
A spy with a sword stick.
Sounds like the poor man's James Bond.
You're just lucky Carey isn't around to hear that. James Bond, talk about red rags. Carey even had a poster from one of the Bond films in his study, used it as a dartboard. Then the creep went and killed himself.
The verdict was misadventure.
Sounds like you doubt it.
No. Carey killed himself, all right.
But?
Well, there were one or two curious facts. His sword stick.
Carey's sword stick?
Carey always carried one, just like Xavier. Became one of his prized possessions. Well, the police found it about 20 yards from where he jumped. And that was out of character, too.
Why?
Carey had a pathological fear of heights. Jumping off Beachy Head. If he'd taken an overdose or something, and he didn't leave a suicide note. It's stupid. 7 years, and somehow I still feel guilty.
I don't, and I gave him the ultimatum.
What kind?
The usual. Deliver or find another publisher.
A bit tough.
Carey's big problem was writing. He had to be forced. This time, he was a year late delivering. He kept phoning me, begging me for more time. We'd gone through it all before. Anyway, I gave him the same treatment as Lionel. The next day,
he took the high jump. But what's the big mystery?
Look at the date on this manuscript.
1975. So?
Let me see. 75. Odd. Very odd.
Why?
1975 was the year Carey died.
The year he swore he was played out. The year he couldn't write anymore.
It was also the year he was completely broke.
A best-selling author?
Another mystery. He wrote 5 bestsellers, and his last one pulled in a cool $25,000 in royalties alone. But by 1975, he hadn't a sou.
Must have enjoyed the high life.
Only for the first couple of years. After that, no. He should have had a small fortune. Yet all he left Andrea was the old rectory.
How does she manage?
Well, outstanding royalties, U.S. sales, a paperback deal I set up. Can't have been easy.
Well, she won't have any problems now.
You haven't read this yet.
There is a problem?
Not exactly, but it doesn't feel right. It's got all the usual ingredients. The booze, blondes, gadgets, Xavier and Grey Eminence.
Grey what?
Grey Eminence, Carey's pet villain, runs through all the books, has a running battle with Xavier White.
So, what's missing?
His bite, his cynicism. And this book... Well, it's a parody.
But will it sell?
On Carey's reputation, yes, but that's not the problem.
No agents talk, Richard.
Give me a little more credit. And Look, Carey obviously hid this manuscript for a reason. Possibly because it didn't meet his standards. Maybe he wouldn't want it published.
And maybe you're ducking the real issue.
What do you mean?
Carey's dead, Richard. Your duty as his agent and his executor is to the living, to his widow and young son.
Bubbles! Bubbles, come here! Look, Bubbles, a car! A sports car! You come to see my mummy?
Yes! You must be Peter!
Mummy, who are you?
My name's Richard. Richard Pullen.
My daddy's book.
Oh, you know about that, do you?
Hmm. Mummy told me about it. It was the day Bubbles killed the blackbird.
What?
Bubbles. He killed it with this.
A catapult. I had one when I was your age. Don't you think killing birds is cruel?
Hmm. Saw it just now by the stables. It was full of crawlies. They was eating its eyes. You won't tell my mummy, will you? Promise?
All right. If you promise not to kill any more birds.
All right.
And you'll stop Bubbles doing it as well.
But Bubbles, he's bigger than me.
Is he now? Well, you'll be big soon. You're 7, aren't you?
Almost.
When's your birthday?
2 weeks.
2? Mm. And I'll have to bring you a present. Would you like that? Peter?
You can go now.
Go? Why?
Because Bubbles wants to play.
Peter, who is it?
Mummy, she's over there, coming out of the kitchen. I'm coming, Bubbles, I'm coming.
Peter! Oh, Richard. Seeing you. Well, it's a real surprise.
What can I say to that?
No, just don't apologize. Come in, I put on some coffee. You still like it black?
You have a good memory.
For a lot of things. Excuse me.
Look, I really am sorry.
Oh, forget it. We never hit it off from the beginning. You had a right to disapprove. The great Carey marrying an heir stewardess.
I was wrong.
And we're quits.
Oh, why?
I didn't know you were more than just Carey's agent.
Sorry?
You're his only friend, you know.
Rubbish, he had dozens.
Oh, the sycophants, the freeloaders, sure. But you... It's funny, Carey always thought of you as special, kind of a father figure.
Oh, thanks a lot.
No, I don't mean in age, but if anything went wrong, he'd call you. Those last 2 days before he died.
You knew?
About the phone calls, sure. And what you told him?
I had no idea. He was so desperate.
Funny. Both of us so close to Carey, and we both opted out, left him to it. So you're not the only one with a guilt complex. Me, I've had mine for 7 years.
Pity we didn't get together sooner.
Sure. Well, at least you have your wife, Susan, and your daughter.
Sarah. And we divorced 5 years ago. She got custody.
Sorry. So you're alone as well.
You've still got Peter.
Right, and that's why I want some advice.
That's why I'm here.
Well, this house I've decided to sell.
Well, about time. You want me to handle it?
No, there's a problem.
What?
Queenie.
Queenie? What the hell's she got to do with it?
A lot. Well, she moved in with me after Carey died. In fact, she helped me find the manuscript.
You mean she knew it existed?
Oh, not exactly. It was just luck she was here. I wanted the deeds of the house. Queenie reckoned they could be in the attic, in one of Carey's trunks. It was during the search that we found Dearest possession.
A bit of luck. What did you think of it?
Oh, I don't know. Peter and Queenie are against me selling.
Oh, it's your house.
Well,
okay, so you owe Queenie something. But tell me, why did she attach herself to you? Give up 7 years of her life?
Because of Carey.
Well?
Queenie Kingdom was in love with him.
Queenie and Carey, come off it.
It was no joke. She believes he was a genius. Is a genius. His study, right after the funeral, she moved everything of his out there. It's like a shrine. And she thinks of this house the same way, a monument to a great writer. A selling would break her heart.
Well, that's her problem. Yours is to do the best for young Peter. Incidentally, I don't think much of that friend of his.
Friend?
Some child called Bubbles.
You've seen Bubbles?
No. Repulsive name. Why?
Just that... look out! Oh!
Odd, a light falling like that. And it's Flex. It's almost brand new.
New old things fall. Just break for no damned reason. This house, Richard, it's jinxed. That's why I've got it.
Andrea, I... Oh, Mr. Pullen, what a lovely surprise.
It's good to see you, Queenie. Careful. Watch your feet.
Oh, harmlessly, Andrea. What have you been up to? Glass broken
it's
everywhere.
It's nothing.
Not even cleared up. What will Mr. Pullen think?
I'll take care of it. You take care of Richard. Show him Carey's study.
It's okay, Andrea.
He's never seen it.
Well, not seen Mr. Arnold's study? We must rectify that immediately. It's only fitting you should see the room where Mr. Arnold slaved.
Well, you've done a great job. I think Carey'd be proud of you.
It's exactly the way he wanted it.
Oh, such a tragedy. But, well, accidents do happen.
You still believe it was an accident?
Well, what else? Mr. Arnold had every reason to live. 5 wonderful books to his credit, his darling son, only a few months old, this house, and his adorable Minka.
Minka? Oh, you mean the girl from Cash on Delivery, the one who was eaten by Soldier Am?
No, really, Mr. Pullen. That was Mandragora. Minka was in danger factor. Grey imminence threw her to the piranha fish. Xavier White stared down at the blood-streaked water. He could see the bones. All that remained of the warm, sensuous Minka. The only woman he'd ever wanted to marry. The most moving passage he ever wrote, and you didn't even remember. She looks exactly like Minka, you know.
Who does?
Andrea. It was the only reason he married her.
Oh. It must have come as quite a shock, then.
The suddenness, yes. But men do have their physical side, don't they? But I was the first one to know, Mr. Pullen, even before you or the press.
Carey confided in you a great deal.
Well, I was his confidential secretary, Mr. Pullen, and I had proved myself as far back as Salisbury.
Oh?
It was where we first met. He was staying there incognito, but I recognized him. He admitted who he was, and he asked me to keep it a secret. You see, he was creating, Mr. Pullen. So I offered my services. He needed complete solitude. So I cooked, cleaned, ran errands. And then one day, he asked me to read it.
Hell and High Water?
Yes. Read it and then type, he said. When I'd done it, he went back to London. Naturally, I thought forever.
Obviously not.
Fate, Mr. Pullen. My mother, she was an invalid, took a turn for the worse. The doctor insisted she should be in hospital. Of course, I couldn't allow that. Especially when I knew she had just 7 days to live.
How on earth did you know that?
There was no doubt. A lily, that was her name, and a tombstone. They were in her cup as plain as day. Tea leaves, Mr. Pullen. I'd looked after my mother for 20 years. I couldn't let her die, surrounded by strangers. She passed over exactly as I predicted, on the 7th day.
I'm sorry.
Oh, blessed relief. But I felt Mr. Arnold should know. I sent him a telegram. The next day he came down in his rolls, told me I was to be his secretary. With 2.5 blissful years. Andrea's very sweet, but she never understood him.
I thought I did. But now this new manuscript...
At least it means she won't have to sell.
I wouldn't count on it.
But Mr. Arnold's publishers. She'll get a large advance.
Maybe.
They realize they have another bestseller.
They're not that certain.
Then you must persuade them, Mr. Pullen.
No, I would, Queenie, except for one fact. Dearest Possession is so badly written, I'm not sure I want to.
But that's utterly ridiculous. You should know that Mr. Arnold never produced a bad book.
There's always a first time for any writer.
Now, look here.
Before you say anything more, Miss Kingdom, let me remind you of one thing. Andrea, as Carey's beneficiary, has sole discretion over all of his books.
Correction, Mr. Pullen. All books in existence at the time of Mr. Arnold's death...
So?
Dearest Possession does not fall into that category.
But it is Carey's book.
It is also mine.
Yours?
We created it together.
Together? When?
Last summer, Mr. Pullen. In this study. Mr. Arnold and I wrote it here. Together.
I think we'd better ask Andrea to join us. Now, Miss Kingdom, you say it all began in here.
Yes. Andrea and I had been arguing. She wanted to sell up.
That's right.
I came up here to think. Consider how Mr. Arnold would have resolved the problem. But I couldn't relax. Something was wrong. The room was oppressive, silent. And suddenly I realized why. This grandfather clock had stopped.
So that's when you wound it.
It was necessary.
When you knew how I felt about
it. I had no choice. Once it started ticking again, I seemed to relax. And the next thing, I was sitting in Mr. Arnold's chair... His pen in my hand. It was writing on the blotter.
You mean you were?
No, Mr. Pullen. The pen was. In Mr. Arnold's handwriting. He wrote 3 words. Mothball the rolls.
Mothball the rolls? What the hell does that mean?
Well, the words meant nothing to me either. At least not at the time. So I concentrated. Then just as the pen moved again, I heard Andrea scream from downstairs. I found her in the garden. Peter had fallen, gashed his knee rather badly. Do you remember, Andrea?
Remember? I've never forgotten. It was the only time Peter ever called for his father.
For Kerry, not you.
Right. He was on the ground, writhing, hysterical, screaming, Daddy, Daddy. It was horrible.
But we calmed him down. Then once he was tucked up in the nursery, I asked Andrea a question.
You did?
I asked why anybody should put mothballs in a car. You said maybe to protect the upholstery.
Logical.
But wrong.
Oh?
Moths, Mr. Pullen, do not lay eggs in leather.
So?
Mr. Arnold's Rolls Royce, as you well know, has leather upholstery.
You've still got that monster.
Oh, Carrie's will. Peter inherits it on his 18th birthday.
I hope it's being looked after.
Oh, very definitely, Mr. Pullen. We keep it in the stables, exactly the way he instructed.
But Carrie's words. You said they didn't mean anything.
I said not at the time, Mr. Pullen. But a few days later, there was a program on the wireless about the way ships, aeroplanes, were protected after the war by putting them in mothballs. That's when I realized what Mr. Arnold meant. When I realized he was still with us.
Yes, but you still haven't explained dearest possession.
That first message was the start, Mr. Pullen. Once I accepted Mr. Arnold was able to communicate, I came back up here. But nothing happened. At least, not until I realized one factor was missing.
This old clock had stopped.
It was the catalyst, Andrea. Starting it made all the difference. The pen came alive. Mr. Arnold told me he wanted to dictate a novel, that I should type it. We finished it in a month.
An all-time record. And, of course, Carey supplied the paper. Old, faded.
No, no, Mr. Pullen, the paper was new. I aged it in the oven. On a low heat, of course. It was one of his brilliant ideas.
Like the fake copyright date. Like planting the script for Andrea to find. Look, I won't say you're lying, Queen.
She's not lying, Richard. I believe her.
Okay, you believe her. Why?
Because of the first chapter. It's something only Carrie and I knew about.
Go on.
Remember where the first chapter set?
Xavier White snuff merchants in Germany.
Yeah?
Xavier goes there to order a new blend. Rapide, princess mixture, a hint of coffee.
And the merest dash of Tonquin essence. It's a blend Carrie called Swordstick.
So?
I was in German Street with Carrie when he ordered that precise blend 5 days before he died.
Time enough to tell Queenie.
No! You see, Queenie wasn't with us. Carrie had fired her 3 weeks earlier.
He accused me of losing an important letter. Foolishly, I argued. Reminded him he had retained it himself. He flew into a rage and ordered me to leave immediately. I never saw or spoke to him again.
Well, can you show me the original pages, the ones you claim to be in his handwriting?
No. Mr. Arnold insisted they were destroyed. I burned the pages as soon as I typed them.
So we can't even check it was Kerry's handwriting. I'm sorry, Andrea, but, well, I'd rather forget the whole thing.
Suppress it? No, Mr. Pullen, you can't. Don't you see, it's his way of making sure Andrea gets money. He wants Peter to grow up here the way he planned.
I still have my reputation to think of, Queen.
But you're his executor, Mr. Pullen. You must respect his wishes.
Very well. But on one condition, I tell Lionel everything. Let him decide. Well?
Mr. Arnold would not like it, but...
Auntie Queenie! Got a present for you, Auntie Queenie!
Oh, that's nice, Peter, but little boys should be seen and not heard.
Oh, sorry. You don't want it?
Oh, give it to me, then. Oh, you've wrapped it beautifully. No! No!
No! No! It's all your rat, Auntie Queenie! No!
No, it's horrible! Get it out of here! Get it out! Get
not
it
Peter, out. Mommy! Not Peter! Bubbles! Oh. He said to do it! Promise it was Bubbles!
You're sorry you came back to this madhouse.
I'll follow him down.
Oh, Richard. What am I going to do?
Look, I'll talk to this other boy's parents. Ask them to keep him away from Peter.
Ask them to... You don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
About... Damn it, Richard, there is no Bubbles. He doesn't exist. Except in Peter's mind.
We'll have to do something, Lionel.
Personally, I won't touch dearest possession with a barge pole. However, our new publicity director thinks differently.
Yes. A book from beyond the grave. Dictated to a psychic secretary. Written by a spy writer who's come back from the cold. We hype it, for heaven's sake, that way the meter will lap it up.
And spit it out if it's no damn good.
John does have a point.
But no supporting evidence.
There's a snuff episode at the beginning.
Andrea's got an axe to grind. So has the kingdom woman. We publish, and what happens? Some Fleet Street hack proves Queenie Kingdom's a fake. Sinks us completely. Destroying the handwritten script stinks for a start.
What if she could repeat the performance? Give us another sample in Carrie's handwriting.
That should be proof enough, eh, Lionel?
I'd still need some kind of disclaimer.
Fine. We get some psychic freak to trick her out. Write her forward. Lay out the pros and cons.
Like whom?
That's your problem.
Oh, thank you.
But I want someone informed, unbiased.
Right.
Someone who'll convince me that Queenie Kingdom isn't an out-and-out fake. God, what a name, Queenie Kingdom.
Very interesting, Mr. Pullen. However, there is still one major problem.
If it's money, Mr. Strachey, I pay experts extremely well.
I'm hardly an expert, sir. More of a dilettante. But yes, I suppose I do have a certain reputation. However, money is not the problem.
Then what is?
Not what, Mr. Pullen, but who? Your publisher, he requires a definite answer. Is Miss Kingdom a fake or isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, frankly, no psychic investigator worth his salt could ever be as definite as that. And that, of course, the lady is a complete charlatan. Caroline, just as go, up you go. Go on. Caroline, up.
Mrs. Arnold believes her.
Do you?
No. But the book, it's only part of, well, something deeper.
Deeper?
It all sounds so crazy, ridiculous.
Ah, let me judge that.
You don't mind the pipe? Mm?
No.
When would it be convenient to visit Miss Kingdom?
As soon as you like. She has, however, made one provision.
Only one?
It seems she can only contact Carrie at night between 9 and 12.
Not unusual, Mr. Pullen, no. Most automatists prefer working regular hours.
Automatists?
People with the ability to write without conscious volition. The Ouija, Planchette are common examples.
I see. These automatists, do they know what they're writing?
Some claim not to. Others say it is similar to taking dictation.
Where would Miss Kingdom fit in?
Well, that, my dear Mr. Pullen, is what you're paying me to find out.
Oh, Richard, that was a super meal.
Thank you.
So, when's this guy Strachey coming down to my place?
Tomorrow night, if it's okay by you. But I wanted you to meet him here first.
Yeah, you're the boss.
He's a bit of an oddball. Crams young idiots for university. Dabbles in psychic research on the side. When he's not making wine, that is. Gave me his Chateau Celery 69.
Celery wine?
Actually, it wasn't that bad when you got used to it. Strange, but...
You liked him.
Yes. He told me about one of his experiments. Telepathy with his wife.
And doesn't she live with him?
In a way, but she died 3 years ago. Oh. They made a kind of pact. She left a message in a locked box, not to be opened until she contacted him from wherever. The poor blighter's still waiting. Showed me her photograph. Nice old lady.
I hope you'll have better luck with Carrie. I'm quite looking forward to meeting him.
Good.
Thank you for asking me round tonight. Oh, makes one hell of a change from the TV and Queenie and... rats and things.
That's just what I thought, but I wasn't sure if you'd accept.
No, oh, try and stop me.
That'll be him. Excuse me.
Sure.
Hello, Mr. Strachey.
Come in.
Oh, thank you. Oh, what a charming pied-à-terre.
And such charming company.
Thank you. Some coffee?
Oh, I never touch this stuff. Now, my dear, I want facts about your late husband. Anything which would not be known to Miss Kingdom. Speed and suddenness are part of my trade. Now, don't take it personally. Anything, Mrs. Arnold? Mr. Pullen?
Well, Queenie knew my husband far longer than I did, Mr. Strachey. I've no idea what he confided in her.
Well, I've been thinking, and here's one for starters. Did you know Kerry was never a spy?
But his job with... the blurb on all his books,
A slight exaggeration. Oh, Ryan Carey worked in Whitehall, all right, as a filing clerk. One day he mislaid a file. He was forced to resign.
I don't believe it.
When did you learn this, Mr. Pullen?
The first time we ever met. A pub in Hampstead.
Ah.
Carey was trying to manage it. I went in by accident. We got chatting, you know how it is. Then another bloke came in, a friend of Carey's. Malcolm Chivers. Ring any bells?
Chivers? The diplomat who defected to Moscow.
The same. Apparently he'd known Kerry in Whitehall, stuck by him when he resigned, got him the job in this pub. Anyway, it developed into quite a session, everything from sex to spies. I happened to mention what Ian Fleming got paid for the Bond films. Kerry went berserk.
Oh, so that's why he hated James Bond.
He had cause. There he was, broke, and I was talking in millions. That's when he poured out his life story. The East End background, his father's bankruptcy, how he'd never had a chance. Chivers was laughing his head off. Said Carey's salvation would be to write a best-selling novel and that I should sell it. I took it as a joke. 3 months later, Carey showed up with the manuscript.
The Conscientious Defector.
Right. And you know the rest.
His first bestseller.
Largely thanks to Chivers, who defected to Russia the very day Carey's book was published. Of course, Carey didn't miss that particular trick. Told the press how close he'd been to Chivers. Bingo! Instant success and a complete change in Kerry Arnold's character. I wonder if Queenie knows all of that.
I wonder. Well, this is it. The room we were telling you about. It's all yours, Mr. Strachey.
You're sure you won't stay?
I'd rather not.
This seance I planned worries you,
Not really, no.
But something in this room does. It would help if I knew.
Okay. It's that.
The clock. Late Victorian. Of no great value. Why does it worry you?
I don't know. Yes, yes, I do. I sense violence all around it.
Why, Mrs. Arnold?
It's crazy, but, well, it goes back to when we bought this place, a month or so before Peter was born. Carrie found the clock in the stables. It was filthy, dirty. A hole right here where the door is now.
What kind of hole?
Jagged, like someone had attacked it. Carrie decided it would look good in the hall. He fixed it up and took it into the house, started it, and then suddenly it chimed. I felt like a knife had gone through me. Inside, the baby twisted. If Carrie hadn't gotten me to hospital, I'd have lost Peter.
A coincidence?
No, it's not a coincidence. Every disaster in this house is connected with that clock. It was chiming when Peter fell out of his pram, got concussion, again on Carrie's last morning, just as he walked to the car, again when the police arrived to tell me, and again as I left for the funeral.
So that's why you were so angry with Queenie?
Sure, suddenly I remembered all the other crazy things. How they started again last summer when she was up here typing.
What crazy things, Mrs. Arnold?
Bubbles. He appeared last summer.
This is your son's fantasy playmate? Mr. Pullen told me this seems perfectly normal. Children often invent playmates.
But this one
especially
is evil.
Evil? That's a bit strong.
That poor animal. What he did to that animal, wouldn't you say that was evil?
No. A child's prank that went wrong.
A prank? Oh, you English. Since when did a jolly old prank include torture?
Torture?
That rat was impaled on a skewer, sticks in its eyes, and it was still alive. But my son denies doing it, so who was responsible? Bubbles, his friend. Who set fire to the cellar? His friend. Every damn thing, his friend. Oh, I guess I made quite an impression.
Just forget it.
I'm not going nuts, Richard.
No one thinks you are. Now relax.
No, I'm okay now, honestly. Hysterical yank will now shut up. You know, it's kind of funny how someone...
What?
How suddenly you get to know... really know a person.
So?
Oh, nothing. Mr. Pullen, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Are you sure you won't come, Andrea?
No, no, definitely not. I'll wait down here.
Very well.
Won't be long.
I suggest we go to the study.
Right.
What with Mrs. Arnold going on about that unfortunate animal and you rushing downstairs after her, that poor man must think we're all most peculiar. Now, come on, he's waited long enough. And I want to prove to you that Mr. Arnold can communicate with me and that he did write Dearest Possession.
Andrea! Wake up. Come on, wakey, wakey.
Richard, oh, guess I dozed off.
The music. Mind if I turn it off?
No, go ahead. Well?
I'll let Strachey tell you. Right now.
Oh, obviously something happened.
Yes, Miss Kingdom, is she all right?
Oh, she's fine. Resting quietly. And she has given us a number of very interesting facts.
Oh.
However, they are interspersed with symbolism, distortion, even evasion. Mm. What we must do is separate the wheat from the chaff.
How?
This is the first item Miss Kingdom produced.
Oh. Oh, it's a drawing.
And nothing more was added for about half an hour. Then... just as the clock chimed...
What's she doing?
The same drawing. No, wait. She's adding to it. Ears. Feet. Whiskers. God, the pen. She's stuck it right to the paper.
Exactly where the rat's eye should be. What's she written?
Hickory dickory dock. What do you make of it?
Think of the next two lines. Miss Kingdom, the nursery rhyme. The rat. Are they linked?
Y-E-S.
How?
Knuckles, that wheel. Looks like she's been hit by something.
Keep very still. What is it, Miss Kingdom?
She started writing again.
What else have you to tell us, Miss Kingdom?
The writing? It's Carey's scroll. Dickory Dock. Dickie 10% in person. It's impossible.
What is?
Carey. He always called me Dickie 10%.
Excellent. Well, read on.
The date was right. The anniversary. But it was the wrong day. Look it up.
The date was right, the anniversary. But it was the wrong day. Look it up. But look what up, Mrs. Arnold? An anniversary, perhaps?
Peter's got a birthday next week, but I...
Go on.
Well, it's like something Carey said the day he died.
The exact words?
He said, what a pity it isn't Monday, but it's enough the dates coincide.
You're certain he said Monday?
Yeah, it was such an odd statement. Came right out of the blue. That's why I remembered it.
Mr. Arnold died on a...
Saturday.
Saturday. Yes. Yeah, it could explain what Miss Kingdom gave us next. You see?
Child, fair of face, child works hard for a living, but agent not at best tonight. Well, surely that's an obvious reference to Peter.
Unfortunately, we're not seeking the obvious, Mrs. Arnold. Now, may I suggest another nursery rhyme? Monday's child.
Monday's child, so fair of face, yes.
So Saturday's child would...
Work hard for his living.
And Mr. Arnold died on a Saturday.
Oh, so if Carey was Saturday's child, who's Monday's child?
Another spirit, Mrs. Arnold. A second entity vying with Mr. Arnold for our attention.
Another entity?
Mediums often communicate through a guide, a controlling spirit, a filter between the communicator. In this case, Mr. Arnold and the medium. However, it would seem that Miss Kingdom's guide is somewhat fractious. Possibly because he is a young child.
A young child? That would explain what she wrote next. The handwriting's changed. It's a child's writing.
Interesting. Who are you?
George. Me, 7.
Ah, so you're 7 years old. George, tell me, when... How did you pass over?
Hide and seek. George, lonely. Oh, it's just nonsense.
Please, restrain yourself. George, Mr. Arnold, is he with you?
It's gone. Nothing. No, wait. She's writing again. It's not possible.
Please, just read it.
Him say it took one push to send him over. Carey, who? Who pushed you over?
I'll ask the questions. George, who pushed him over?
Rise and back. The falls ends the final problem. It's too fast. It's happening too fast. Shaded character. Savior. Him says he marked the place.
And that was it. A terrifying jumble. Words spilling out. Queenie scrawling away frantically. And then... Him says he marked the place. After that, silence.
Carey did mark the place, Richard. His sword stick, do you remember?
Okay, but what's rise and back and the falls ends the final problem? What's it all mean?
It strikes a chord, but savior and shady character. I don't know. Mrs. Arnold.
No, they don't mean a thing.
I think they do, Andrea.
Oh?
It's proof that Carey was completely mad on the day he died. Savior. Xavier. Yes, they'd sound almost identical to a 7-year-old child, wouldn't they?
Xavier.
Mr. Arnold's fictional spy.
Yes, and if we accept that, the shady character is Grey Eminence.
Xavier? Grey Eminence? Hero and villain.
But there are people in his books. They're not real.
They were to Carey.
Oh, it's crazy. Impossible.
Why, Mrs. Arnold?
Because I know who killed Carey.
Who?
I did.
You? No, who's being ridiculous? Carey killed himself because he was mentally disturbed.
Okay, but someone had to drive him over that cliff, and I did that, just as though I was there, goading him on.
Why?
Oh, we've been arguing for weeks. All Carey did was whine on that he was finished as a rider. That last morning, he was really depressed. Said if he couldn't ride, he might as well end it. I lost my temper. Told him to go ahead. He did. And when someone's dead, how the hell can you ever say sorry?
If you'll excuse me.
It might be better to leave her.
What a mess.
All right. Now then, please continue with your rather intriguing hypothesis.
Huh? The Carey was schizophrenic.
You have to prove it.
Okay. Look at the facts. For 40 years, Carey Arnold was a nonentity. Then fame, something he reveled in, worked bloody hard to maintain, pulled every trick to stay in the headlines.
Both writer and showman.
No, publicity. That's what kept Carey on top.
So Dickie 10% reaping much of the benefits.
Yes, but I worked damned hard for my share. Mm. Do you know how much I got for his first book?
Well, rather more than my present fee.
90,000. Okay, so I took 9. Mm. Used it to expand the business, but Carey... He ran through the rest in a year. Mm. Women, clothes, parties, travelling.
Yeah, he did manage to produce a second novel.
Only when he was flat broke. With the tax boys burning his tail. And with me spelling out the dire consequences. No, fright drove Carey, nothing else. That's why he bedded himself in Salisbury.
Of course, the momentous meeting with our Miss Kingdom.
Yes. It's a funny thing, but writers always find their second novel the most difficult.
I'd always thought it'd be far easier.
No, they tend to go literary, reach for the thesaurus. It was the same with Carey. He said he went through hell getting the second one finished. That's why he called it Hell in High Water.
But it sold.
Oh, it sold, on Carey's reputation. But as a novel, his first book was stylish, tense, beautifully written. But with Hell in High Water, Carey's whole style changed. Suddenly, Xavier White became a superhero, complete with all the gadgets. The books could have been written by 2 different people. Now, I believe they were.
Oh?
2 years between books? Carey so changed in himself? He started to identify with Xavier, ape him in everything. The Rolls-Royce, smoke screens, secret compartments and all, the black cape, the snuff, even that stupid sword stick.
Mm, developing fetish.
Which Carey carried to absurd proportions, until tonight... I thought they were just for publicity.
And now?
I think... I'm convinced Xavier became Carey's alter ego.
You mean? He believed he was Xavier?
To the point that the real Carey Arnold ceased to exist.
No Carey? Ergo, no writer. Hmm?
No writer, no novels, no fame. A situation which Carey would find impossible. One which he would have to alter.
By providing the only solution his deranged mind would accept... A final confrontation with Grey Eminence.
Exactly. Only this time, the ending would be different. Xavier White would die.
An excellent theory, but incomplete.
Why?
It does not explain Deary's possession. How Carey Arnold regained his ability to write, and so long after his death.
Well, that's obvious. When Carey died, his alter ego, Xavier, ceased to exist.
Agreed, but where is the proof that Carey survived? Or that even one line of Deary's possession was actually written by him.
But haven't we proved that she can communicate beyond the grave? Queenie gave us that.
Oh, Queenie is a very gifted telepath, but whether she can relay messages from spirits, now that is quite another matter.
Andrea, you okay?
Fine. And I've come to a decision. How to lay my husband's ghost once and for all.
How?
Mr. Strachey, I'd like you to hold another seance, and this time I wish to be there. I want to ask Carey certain specific questions.
But why am I here, Richard? Creepy attics and calling up the ghost of a dead writer is not my scene. I have enough trouble with the living ones.
No, Andrea specifically asked for you.
And why did she change her mind and come herself?
She blames herself for Carey's death. Thinks the only way he'll find peace is if she says sorry. And the only way she can do that is through Queenie.
Poppycock. Ah, what the hell's he up to now? Squirting powder everywhere.
It's just an idea of mine, Mr. Somerton. Now, don't touch it, please. One more squeeze. Here. Yes.
I believe we're ready.
Not quite, Mr. Strachey. Huh? Please rewind the clock.
Oh, yes. Richard, if you'll do the necessary...
Right.
Good. Now, Mrs. Arnold, if you'll take this seat.
Right.
Richard, you'll be next to Miss Kingdom.
Fine.
Are you quite ready?
Yes.
Now, I would like and must have absolute silence.
What happens now, Mr. Strachey?
That is up to Miss Kingdom. But whatever happens, please do not move from your seat.
How long does this...
Strachey, it's George again.
Hello, George. Have you anything to tell us?
Pipe. Little. Picture.
I know you're little, George. Tell me, do you have another name?
Yes. Not oranges? Lemons?
Not oranges or lemons? Clements. Is that your name?
No. We have no bananas.
When you passed over, George, where were you?
Poplar. Dark. War. No one find me. Why?
Poor kid must have died in the Blitz. George Clements Poplar. Somerset House, Strachey. Should be easy to trace.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly.
The writing's changing. The angular. Difficult to read.
It's a new communicator.
M-U. Gold ring. Too big.
You, Muriel. My wife, Strachey. Her wedding ring never did fit. She died before I could get it altered.
Blue, present, flying. Good luck.
She was wearing blue the first time we met in the RAF. Strachey, find
she's
out...
She's gone, Lionel.
Gone?
Oh, she's off again. It's Carrie's right
here. Carrie, this is our Dickie. Dear. Listen to me. Dickie. I want you to rest in peace. Tell me what to do. Please, Carrie, please. What's the matter, Richard?
It's crazy. He says, clap hands if you believe.
You bastard, Carrie, you bastard. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't. Oh, my God, what's there?
It came from downstairs.
Peter, I'm coming.
Epileptic. You're quite sure?
The last time I heard that noise was at university. A fellow student. He cried like that just before he went into a spasm.
What do we tell Andrea?
The truth. Peter's young. Given care, therapy, there's every chance he'll outgrow it, lead a normal life.
Thank God. Andrea, we think Peter may need to see a doctor.
In fact, he must see one.
Yes, I'll get him checked out, but not until he's had his birthday.
Damn, I'd forgotten it's on Friday, isn't it?
Right.
Mommy.
Oh, Peter.
Mommy, I want to tell you something.
Later. Now back to sleep.
No, I want to tell you now about me flying up there.
You ever see them?
I saw me here in bed.
You saw yourself, Peter? From up there?
I told you, and I heard people. They were laughing downstairs.
But that was us, darling.
No, you wasn't there. Daddy was.
No.
Was. Saw him. He had a big moustache. He was smoking.
Well, that proves you were dreaming. Your daddy never had a moustache, and he didn't smoke either.
He was angry with me.
So you woke up, called for me.
No, you weren't there. Daddy wanted you. Pretty lady told him where you'd gone.
What pretty lady, Peter?
I don't know. She had a long blue dress.
And what did she tell your daddy?
She said Mummy was in the garden with Victor. Daddy got angry again.
It sure was some dream, and no wonder. Now come on, lie down. Look at your hands. What have you been doing?
Mrs. Arnold, may I? Peter, I left a small bag in the hall. Did you touch it?
No.
You're quite sure?
Quite sure. Cross my heart. Promise.
Then I'll believe you. Tell me. What happened next?
Daddy said everyone was going to play a game. Even me. But I couldn't not till I found it.
Found what, Peter?
My shadow. They wouldn't listen. Said I had to play. I hid in the study.
You went in the study? You're quite sure?
But it wasn't late now. There was a bed. big with the curtains. Then the crocodile came. Chase me. I was frightened, Mummy.
Well, you're quite safe now. Come on, snuggle down.
You're squashing bubbles.
Bubbles, damn it, Peter. I told you there is no bubbles.
Please, Mrs. Arnold. Was Bubbles at the party as well?
Till we had the fight.
You fought with your friend? Why?
My head. He said I couldn't go back in it. But I did. It was all dark. A clock was ticking.
What clock?
In the crocodile's tummy. It was ever so loud.
Oh, Peter, you are funny. The crocodile, the boy who lost his shadow, the clock. They're all in the story Auntie Queenie told you. Peter Pan, remember? You dreamed about them, that's all.
Oh, my little pet.
Oh, Auntie Queenie. Oh. To die will be an awfully big adventure. Won't it, Auntie?
No. It's all my fault, Andrea. But never again. He's willful, wicked, too strong. Care is completely beyond my control. I shall never go in that study, sit at that desk again.
But you must, Miss Kingdom.
Never. Never. I'll never go in there again.
Well, you can't stay up here. You really will have to come down.
I can't quite believe it. My wife. Now all this you've just told me, dying a big adventure. 7-year-old talking like that. It's unreal. Very disturbing.
Not if you recall Carey's last message.
Last message? Clap hands if you believe.
Carey and Peter, they both quoted from Peter Pan, a children's story, yet crammed full of bizarre nightmares.
Peter's nightmare? You went on a bit there, didn't you?
Possibly because it wasn't a nightmare.
What else could it be?
I believe Peter experienced a separation.
What the hell's that?
A condition where someone occupies another body while his own is asleep.
Then you believe Peter was actually in here during the seance?
His hands would verify that.
Hands?
They were stained purple with the powder I dusted around the study.
So you're saying he actually was in here?
But why didn't we see him?
For precisely the same reason he couldn't see us. He was on another plane, in a different time.
Now look here, if it wasn't for that message, my wife, I'd say you... So, where do we go from here?
We endeavor to unlock the key to the enigmatic George and fast.
Somerset House should be straightforward enough.
No, because George is anything but straightforward. He enjoys games, riddles. I sincerely hope there was a George Clements, that he did live in Poplar, and that he died in the war. Otherwise, we could be too late.
For what?
To prevent a terrible tragedy.
What?
Now, I must take all these.
Now, look.
Please, no more questions.
And then he just upped and went.
Yeah, but... what sort of tragedy did he mean? Oh, I wish all this had never happened.
Look, all he said was that he sensed danger. Now, with Queenie refusing to cooperate, I think he's feeling a bit lost.
Well, when's he coming back?
When he finds out about George.
Incidentally, what did you say in the middle of the seance?
Nothing.
I thought you whispered something. Something like Mutter.
I said Mutty. That message about the ring, it was for me.
For you?
It was for my mother. You see, I always called her Mutty. It's just a nickname. But Lionel was so happy to hear from his wife, I couldn't spoil it.
I suppose not. I didn't realize how much she meant to him.
He quite obviously still loves her.
But why are you so sure the message was for you?
You remember when we first met? You tried to stop Carey marrying me. You were probably right. The great Carey Arnold marrying an air hostess.
Why did you want to marry him?
Oh, I was dazzled. His reputation. Marrying him got me out of flying and really hurt my father, and I wanted to do that.
Why?
He was a fat, drunken slob. Slept around, beat up my mother, gave her one kid after another till she... Then after she died, he acted like she was a saint. Can you believe that?
So the airline was your escape?
Oh, yeah. Coffee, tea, fly me, I'm Andrea. As far as Dad was concerned, I'd become a whore. He was right, too. Are you ready for more searing revelations?
If you want to tell me.
I think you should know.
I'm listening.
I want a favor first.
It depends what it is.
I'd like you to kiss me.
please?
No. Properly, not just a friendly peck. Do you know Carrie couldn't kiss me like that? That's when I knew it was all another mistake.
Why?
Richard, you know I've fallen in love with you. No, don't say anything. Just listen. To hurt my father, I had scores of men. It never worked, not for me, not once. It never has. And then one morning, I woke up with a guy I didn't even recognize. Now, that's ugly, Richard, realizing you've become... Next time I was home, I confessed. I told my mother everything. She said nothing. Just gave me her wedding ring and a blue leather prayer book. Said they'd remind me of her. Tonight she reminded me again. Blue, present, flying.
Prove she still cares.
Oh, Richard.
Why did you get so upset at Carrie's last message? The Peter Pan stuff.
Wasn't it obvious?
Not to me.
Well, then think. What did he say?
Clap hands if you believe.
And the last two words?
In fairies.
I told you Carrie could show no genuine emotion, that he couldn't even kiss me. I was upset. Because the last time I ever saw Carrie, I accused him of just that, of being gay. That facing up to that might cure his damned writing block, and that's why he won't forgive me now.
No, it's one of Carrie's sick jokes. They always were in bad taste.
Jokes?
Remember his friend Shivers?
The man who ran off to Russia?
Yes, well, he was a homosexual. Very close to Carrie.
So?
Carrie never hid that relationship. People talked about it openly in front of him.
And?
Well, that proves that Carrie didn't give a damn about being gay. Carrie didn't kill himself because of what you said. He died because he was written out. So leave him that way. Try to start thinking about Peter and his future.
Yes?
Richard, there's a Mr. Strachey on line one.
Oh, fine. Put him through.
And there's a Mr. Jupp in the office wants to see you.
Jupp? Don't know him. What's he want?
He won't say, but he's insisting he sees you personally.
Oh, tell him to make an appointment.
Right. Putting you through to Mr. Strachey.
Hello? Mr.
Richard?
Strachey?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Morning. Young George. I think I've located him. Or rather, his remains.
Marvellous. Where?
Under our noses in Warbury Churchyard.
Not Poplar?
I warned you he was full of tricks. And when I could find no record of a George Clements, at least not one that fitted our requirements, I reassessed his message. War seemed the only other link. So I played a hunch. I checked Warbury. Found a George Pears. Died there in 1945, aged 7.
I'm sorry, but you've lost me. George said his name was Clements.
No. What George said was not oranges or lemons. We assumed Clements. His next words were the real clue. No, we have no bananas.
What?
Would you recall how the song continues? We got apples and...
pears?
George, pears.
Of course. But why did George say he died in Poplar?
Before Carey renamed the old vicarage, it was known as the Poplars. Of course, all this is evidence is still circumstantial.
Well, how do we make it conclusive?
Hopefully through Ada Fawcett.
Ada who?
Fawcett, a housemaid. She worked for Mr. and Mrs. Pears. I've traced her to an old folks' home in Windsor. I'm going there.
Fine. Look, I have to go. Phone me at the old vicarage later. Better still, stop by and wish Peter a happy birthday for tomorrow. What on earth's going on?
I'm very sorry, Richard.
That's all right, Val. Now, who the hell are you?
The name's Jupp. Ray Jupp. I must talk.
Now, make an appointment.
I told you.
No time. It's about Carrie. Carrie Arnold.
I can spare 5 minutes. Thank you, Val.
Thank you, Mr.
Pullman. I need longer. But for starters, Carrie's books. I wrote them. I was his ghostwriter.
Ghosts, Mr. Strachey? No. I don't believe in them things.
But you will help. Have a mint.
Oh, well, there's no harm in trying, is there?
Good. Shall we sit here?
Oh, yeah. Well, lovely garden, isn't it? Yeah,
now, Mr. and Mrs. Pears, tell me about them.
Upstarts, both of them. Nothing. Him, he made his money during the war. And her? Well, that's a matter of opinion.
And the little boy?
Oh, George. Proper little monster he was. What he got up to, what he did to the birds and the animals was horrible. But, I mean, it was all their fault. I was spoiling him one day, screaming at him the next. That poor kid never had a chance.
Could you describe Mr. Pears?
Tall. Good-looking, if you like the type, but he had one of those Clark Gable moustaches. He drank, smoked a lot.
A pipe?
Alan Pears with a pipe? No, he wasn't that common. Nothing but cigars for him. Not with Victor hanging about.
Victor? The lady said Mummy was in the garden with Victor.
Yeah. How would you know about that?
I beg your pardon?
I mean, about her and Victor Braithwaite. He was, well, close friend, especially of her.
Was he there the day George died?
Yeah. Well, they was having one of their parties. Blokes all booze, women showing they're all getting up to... Well, all these things. Oh, damn place!
How did George die?
Well, it was tragic, really, Mr...
Tragic?
And all because of a stupid game.
Hide and seek?
Yeah, well, they called it that, but... And played it in the bedroom, mostly in the four-poster. And those curtains did some fine goings on, I can tell you. And who had to clean up
what
after
happened?
I did? Well, that night, after they'd had their fun, I went up there and I noticed that clock.
A grandfather clock?
Yeah, right. Gloomy old thing it was. Well, the door was ajar, so I shut it. I mean, how was I to know that that kid was hid in there, that he'd fallen asleep inside?
7 years of silence. And now, just as Mr. Pullen and I have certain plans, you appear. Offer to do us a favor.
A cigarette. Have you got any?
If you must, Mr. Jupp. In the box.
Filters. I don't suppose you... No, you're not the type.
Just get on with it.
Well... As I said, Carrie and me, we go back a long way. To Wapping. Same building, street, school. Even then, we had an understanding.
Understanding?
Oh, Carrie always was a lazy blighter. Brainy, but lazy. I made sure he did well at school.
He cribbed your work?
He never stopped. Look, I wanted peace, time to read, write.
Thrillers?
Me write trash, never. Do you know what I've been doing for these last 15 years? Working. Researching a masterpiece.
Really?
They will laugh away, but my book will upturn history. Tell the truth about Gilles de Rais, the greatest Frenchman ever.
You're writing about Bluebeard.
I don't call him that. A 17th century hack, the author of Mother Goose. De Rais was a great man.
A great man? When he dabbled in witchcraft, tortured, killed hundreds of men, women, children, and was hanged for his crime?
That was a miscarriage of justice, and I've got the evidence to prove it.
Yes, I'm sure historians will welcome your revelations. But could we return post-haste to Carrie Arnold?
Yeah. Well, remember his first book, the one about that puffy white old chap? Well, when it came out, I wrote to Carrie, told him about my work, asked him if he'd help, find me a decent publisher. And a bastard didn't even reply.
Please, Mr. Jupp, on the phone, Mr. Pullen said you had inferred that you had written all Carrie Arnold's books. Can you substantiate that extravagant claim?
It's a slip of the tongue.
Ah.
All but that one, the first one, The Conscientious Defector.
So Carrie actually did write one book?
No, somebody else did that.
Someone who?
Well, he never said. But whoever it was had scarped, had done a bunk, left Carrie in shtook.
Someone called Malcolm Chivers?
Oh, maybe. But whoever it was, Carrie couldn't contact him.
And when did Mr. Arnold make this confession to you?
Oh, must have been a year after I wrote to him. I got a telegram. He said he was in Salisbury to meet him there.
Salisbury? You're quite sure about that?
I had to pull my typewriter for the fair. Carey met me at the station. I could see he was in a bad way.
Oh?
You'd contracted him to do another book. He couldn't deliver. Offered me £500 to ghost it. The plus a lot of crap, what he'd do for me, etc.
So you wrote Hell and High Water?
In 3 weeks flat. Carey thought it was brilliant. I collected. Then, a year later, Carey showed up again.
Wanting another book?
What else? But this time it really cost him $10,000, not to mention the rest.
Blackmail?
Oh, no. But there he was,
tarted up just like his bloody hero, Xavier White, with a sword stick in a rose, just like the one I dreamed up. It was a diabolical liberty. So I dreamed up a few more gimmicks, kept adding them on. Gary was besotted. He kept lapping them up, coming back for more.
You wrote the next four books.
Word for word. And the biggest laugh was when he said he'd got married.
What was so amusing?
Well, the bird, she was just like Minka, the raving nympho I dreamed up for Xavier. Yes, I often wondered about that. Well, whatever she was, it was wasted on Carey.
Oh? Why?
He couldn't do it, could he? All talk. Deep down, he was as bent as a nine-bob note. And he knew it.
Poor little thing was dead. Suffocated.
But why did no one miss him?
Oh, well, there was the fight, you see. Mr. Pears, well, he caught his wife in the summer house with Victor.
How did Mr. Pears find that out?
Oh, from a Mrs. Ellis. She'd had her eye on Mr. Pears, wanting to cause trouble.
A silly question, perhaps, but do you recall what this woman was wearing?
Oh, I don't know. But it would have been a light, frilly summer frock. Yeah, most times she wore blue.
Blue? Pretty lady in blue. Yes. But what I don't understand is, what is all this to do with finding George?
Well, you see, Mrs. Pears was upset, so she ran into the house, and that's when she discovered George wasn't in his bed. And they turned the house upside down. Nothing. And I remembered that clock. But the door had stuck, and Mr. Pears had to break it open.
Oh, dreadful. One final question, Miss Fawcett. The name Bubbles, does it mean anything to you?
It should. It's what they called George.
You're quite sure?
Oh, no one ever called him anything else, Mr.
Why?
Well, what with their name being Pears and George, his golden curls, I mean, he was the spitting image of Bubbles. Huh? The kid in the soap advert.
So that's what he was telling us. Little boy with a clay pipe, blowing bubbles. The painting by Millais.
It was in all the papers. But it's funny, though. Are you coming here today of all days?
Why?
Well, it's his anniversary, isn't it? I mean, I never forget it. How could I? George died exactly 37 years ago today, the night before his 7th birthday.
My God. Really?
Lord, why keep going on about dates? What's so important about 1975?
It's important to us. Mr. Jupp, when exactly did Kerry Arnold turn up?
Summer 1975.
Thank you.
Suddenly, there he is, whining, pleading for another book.
Which you wrote.
Sure. What choice did I have? Especially when he said this time it was 20 grand.
A hell of a lot for one book.
Now, come off it. When he got 10 times that much. This time I wanted my whack. I said 10,000 advance, the rest on delivery. He tried to make it a grand in advance. I told him what he could do. Finally, he agreed.
When did you deliver the manuscript?
A couple of months later. Now then, his bloody majesty didn't like it. He refused to hand over the balance. And when I tried to grab it off it, do you know what he did? He smashed me over the head with a poker. Yeah. Look, see, look, the scar. It's still there. I came to it gone. Not that I cared. But do you know what else he'd done? That bastard had wrecked my flat. Burned all my research papers, everything to do with DeRay. My life's work, irreplaceable documents reduced to ashes.
But, Mr. Jupp, you've no idea what happened to the manuscript.
Oh, the bastard had paid for it. I guess he must have taken it.
But we never received it.
That's your problem. Carey was damned lucky I didn't kill him.
Are you sure you didn't? Later?
That's your joking. When he bumped himself off, I was in hospital with a fractured skull. First I knew about it was in the papers. Can't say I felt any overwhelming sense of grief.
So, when did you first hear about Dearest Possession?
What the hell is that?
The title means nothing to you.
No?
And what exactly do you want from us?
Money.
How much?
Enough to see me through. Enough to finish my DeRay book.
How much?
But you know what this spy stuff's worth. Give me the going rate. I can deliver in a couple of months.
Deliver? You mean you want to ghost another Kerry Arnold novel now?
What else? I can write you another brand new Xavier White story. Well, you can sell it how you like.
And you've really never heard of Dearest Possession?
Certainly not. Daft bloody title.
Well, I'll be damned. You know, Richard, I think we ought to take Mr. Jupp for a ride.
Here, hang on. Relax. Only to the country. To meet someone. Let her hear your story.
He's a liar. A wicked, evil liar. Mr. Arnold wrote Dearest Possession. Guided my hand.
That's a laugh. Guided your hand. He couldn't even guide his own when he was alive, let alone now. Sorry, but this old biddy's taken you all for a ride.
Andrea, you believe me. Mr. Arnold, he did come to me. Guide me. May lightning strike me if I lie.
Save the mystic crap, darling. I've nicked you, so give up. Come clean.
I'll do that all right. Never fear. You say you wrote Mr. Arnold's novels.
He only ever had one ghostwriter, love me.
Then provide us with proof. A page of manuscript, anything.
Never kept him, wasn't any point.
Ah, very convenient. He's lying, Mr. Somerton, you can see.
Letters? Carey must have written to him.
Ah, then never. He just showed up, said he wanted a scarpet.
It's all lies, fabrication, Mr. Pullen. Just get rid of him.
Oh, yes, that'd suit you, wouldn't it?
Ah, we appear to have reached an impasse. Well, Richard?
You reckon Dearest Possession is your work?
Apart from that title.
Mr. Arnold,
the title isn't important. What is that no one outside this room knows the plot of Dearest Possession.
Well,
so, if you wrote it, you should be able to give us a full breakdown of the story. Now, in front of witnesses.
Now? Well, look, I'm knackered, mate.
Oh.
I haven't slept for 36 hours. No cigarettes, even.
Help yourself, Mr. Jupp.
Oh, thanks.
Mr. Jupp, all this stuff about you and Carey, it's crazy, but I kind of believe you.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Queenie. Now, look, Mr. Jupp, I don't want to cheat you out of anything, but I have a child to support.
Look, Mrs. Arnold, when I came here, I knew nothing about this Dearest Possession. I needed cash. I was ready to work for it. And all I want is what's due, what Carey owed me.
Unfortunately, there's much more at stake, Mr. Jupp.
Oh, how?
Well, this new book could take off. Richard says there could be a lot of money involved. Reprints of the other books, a TV series, maybe even a film. So if you really did write Carey's books, I'd have to...
You'd have to give me a share. Oh, what a mess. Well, all right, I'll try and remember the gist of the plot. But you've got to make allowances. Not just for the old fractured skull. Thunderstorms make me nervous, scare me silly. It began in London.
Oh, Mr. Arnold's books began in London. Honestly, Mr. Pullen, he'll make up any old story to convince you.
No. We want the exact plot, the characters, and where each chapter is set. Well?
Well, London. Yeah. Yeah, it was Jermyn Street. Saviour's snuff merchant. He orders a new formula. And then he goes and he orders this special blend.
But it is the basic plot, Richard.
Basic is the word, Andrea. But the errors, major errors. Not knowing the heroine's name, what great eminence did to her, not even remembering the end.
Mr. Jupp is exhausted.
Maybe. But the denouement of Dearest Possession contains some very striking elements, ones which the real author could hardly...
Look, he's ill.
Obviously, nothing will convince you, Andrea. Very well, I have no choice. I'm going upstairs to...
Oh, Queenie!
For heaven's sake, Queenie, calm down.
Now, don't get your knickers in a twist. Look, so it's not quite right. I can't remember it all. But I've been thinking. There's only one real way to prove my story. Lock me up somewhere. Let me write you a new Saviour White story.
What?
Not a couple of chapters should convince you.
Not a bad idea.
Right, right. But I want it settled once and for all, so there is a condition.
There would be.
I want Gypsy Rose Lee and her psychic Pennier to do the same.
That's ridiculous. I've proved myself already with Mr. Arnold's guidance. His book is the evidence.
Not really, Queenie. No one has ever actually seen any original pages in Carey's handwriting.
But the seance, Mr. Pullen. You saw his handwriting then.
I saw the odd disjointed sentence, Queenie. We only have your word that Carey is able to transmit a complete novel. I think we should take Mr. Jupp's advice. You should both try to write a Carey Arnold story.
Oh, go on, love. Give him a call. See if he's up to it.
Peter?
Peter?
I'm frightened for him. Don't you see, Andrea? Tomorrow is his seventh birthday. And Mr. Strachey said there could be a tragedy. Now, if anything happened to him...
But we don't know he meant Peter.
No, I'll go to him. Not let him out of my sight.
It's your last chance, Miss Kingdom.
Very well. But first, I must go to the study. Ask Mr. Arnold what he wants me to do.
Richard,
Richard, what on earth's that?
Peter's birthday present. I had to wait till you put him to bed. But what are you doing down here?
Oh, he wants a drink. Well, would he go for that? How much?
Only the best, and it's a surprise. No telling him, and I've got one for you as well.
A bike?
No. How'd you like to get married?
A nutcase sacked out on the sofa. Queenie acting her head off. Sure is a great time to get a proposal.
Sorry. Where's Queenie now?
Oh, wrapping Peter's present like nothing had happened. But her face when she came down from the study, that was weird.
Weird?
Cold, hard, and then insisting her test has to be tonight. It's crazy after she said she'd never go in there again.
Maybe she wants to get it over with. You still haven't answered me.
Getting married? Sure. And as soon as you like.
Really? Oh, darling. Down.
Hello, the old rectory. Hello?
Hello. Hello, Paul Strachey here.
Oh, hi, it's Mr. Strachey.
Oh, where is he?
My motorbike, Mrs. Arnold, it's broken down.
Well, where? Richard will come and get you.
Hello, that's you, Laura. No.
Hello,
oh.
Cross
line.
What?
Damn,
oh, sorry.
It's important. Peter, is he all right?
Fine, why, Mr. Strachey?
It's to do with...
What?
The key.
I can't hear you.
Lonely. Needs company.
Who wants company? I didn't get that. He's very faint. The line's breaking up. I can hardly hear him.
As soon as I can. But watch out.
Watch out for what? Oh, damn.
What did he want?
He wanted me to watch out.
Well, phone him back.
He was in a call box. I'm frightened, Richard.
It's almost 9. Time for the test.
Tomorrow, Queenie. Wait until tomorrow.
Putting it off won't help. The day and the time are right. Exactly right. Mr. Arnold said so. And there's no way I can argue, is there?
Come on, then. Let's get on with it.
Andrea, you must go and watch over Peter. Don't leave him again.
Right.
See you soon, darling. What's wrong, darling? Inspiration flown out of the window? I reckon old Carey's tripped over his ectoplasm.
Shut up. Give Miss Kingdom a chance.
Quiet. Yes, it's Carey's handwriting. Now is the time for all good men. Sounds like a quotation.
Not quotation, it's a typing exercise. Well, it's better than the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, eh, Carey? Well, it looks like he's not going to recognise his old chum. Ignore him, is that it?
On the contrary, 5 minutes spare. Have you anything to say? You've got your answer, Jupp.
If it was Carey, he'd know what I want to say.
Hang on. Possibly my answer crossed yours.
Very funny.
No. It's another quotation. Damn, where's it from?
Who cares? Look, the old cow hasn't written a single original thing.
The place is marked. Grey eminence, nose, rise and back. The last word. Can you read it, Lionel?
It's a scroll. Carey, we can't read the last word.
Oh, let me look. Falls, that's what it is, falls.
Rise and back. The falls. Doesn't make sense.
They're telling me none of it does. It's all rubbish. Mumbo jumbo.
What's happening? Look out. The bookcase. It's falling.
Oh. You okay, Jump?
Richard, the sentence. Queenie's finished it.
The falls ends the final problem. The first seance. Carey said those words before.
Bloody.
There's more. Grey eminence. Cash problem. Wanted to get shot of me.
Stay where you are.
Lionel, that book. No, the one that hit Jupp. What is it? Yes, that one there.
Conan Doyle, the complete Sherlock Holmes.
Of course! Don't you see? That's the solution. Jupp, you are Grey Eminence.
May, are you crazy?
No. If we accept that Carey is Xavier, you are his Grey Eminence. You're the only one with a money problem.
Right, but why should I want to be shot of him? Go on, Carey, answer that one.
He is.
Well? Well, what's you written?
Elementary, dear Watson.
Sherlock Holmes again.
Exactly. And it explains how Jupp killed Carey.
Now, look, I told you I was in hospital, remember?
Yes, but you killed him as surely as if you'd been there.
He committed suicide. He jumped off Beachy Head.
There was no suicide note. Why?
How should I know?
Because Carey wanted to protect Andrea and Peter. He wanted his death to look like an accident. But he had no intention of letting you escape.
From what?
Morally, you were responsible, and I can prove it.
Beyond me.
Carey promised you £20,000 for the last book. Paid you 10 in advance.
He welched on the rest, you know that?
Welched? No. You knew you'd never collect the balance.
I did how?
Because you needed two things. Firstly, time, and secondly, enough cash to enable you to complete your masterpiece, your treatise on Deray. And Carey's 10,000 gave you both. So you had no further use for Carey. But your problem was how to get him off your back. Why would you tell us nothing about the final chapter of Dearest Possession?
Well, I couldn't remember it.
Really? Or did you take a leaf out of this book, out of Conan Doyle? Here we are, exactly where it fell open. The final problem. I'd forgotten how Carey revered Conan Doyle. Tonight he's shown us what he tried to imply earlier.
Carey can't imply anything. He's dead, gone.
Dead, yes, gone, I don't know. But I do know how Conan Doyle got rid of Sherlock Holmes.
Good gracious, rise and fall. Holmes fell over the...
The rise and back falls, yes. Where Holmes had his final confrontation with his arch-rival Moriarty. A confrontation that ended with his death.
I'm wrong. Holmes only pretended to die.
But how did the public discover that?
Conan Doyle wrote another story.
3 years later, and only because his readers were screaming for it. But you didn't allow Carey... even that loophole.
You're guessing.
No. It's been staring us in the face. Remember what you told us about Carey's last visit? The way he groveled, begged you to write another novel?
And I gave it to him.
Yes, but you were determined it would be the last. And there was only one way of ensuring that. You had to kill off Xavier White in your final chapter.
Well, I was on it, now he'd take it so hard.
Oh, come off it. When you knew that by 1975, Carey identified completely with Xavier White, saw how eager he was to adopt every gimmick your malicious little mind dreamed up, even to marrying a girl who conformed exactly to your description of Minka.
Well, no, Jupp.
You knew exactly what you were doing, and you reveled in it.
And why shouldn't I? I did all the bloody graft. I was the real author. Carey could write a line to save
his life. Or even Xavier's. I'm right, aren't I?
If you mean, did I kill off Xavier? Yes, and I enjoyed doing it.
What happened?
Grey Eminence shot him through the head at point-blank range.
At point-blank range, thereby making damn sure no one could ever bring Xavier back to life. Even Conan Doyle didn't go that far. But you gave Carey no way out, no hope of escape.
They could have changed the ending, rewritten the last chapter, even the last few words. Carey Arnold had no talent, no imagination, none whatsoever.
Not in 1975, he didn't.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means, Mr. Jupp, that in the version we have, Dearest Possession does not end with Xavier White's death.
Eh?
So the question still is, who wrote it?
Well, she did, then. She wrote it. But on her own. She was not helped by Carey Arnold. That bastard had no talent. None. None.
You fool, Jupp. You fool.
Carey. That's Carey's voice.
The manuscript. Only that was burned. Only that.
The my papers, my life's work.
Your life's work. They've been hidden, Jupp, for 7 years. In a smoke screen. For 7 years. Get it? In a smoke screen.
Carey. For God's sake, Richard, what's happening? Carey, where are you?
Oh, Elwood, listen. Carey's Rolls Royce. Where is he?
How do I know? Don't you understand what's happened? A dead man was here in this
room. Come on, think. Where's Carey's Rolls?
In the yard, somewhere in the stable. Why?
You'll know soon enough. Just a minute, Jupp.
Mr. Pullen. Jupp, where is he?
Rushed off. Queenie, are you okay?
Yes, but Jupp, where's he gone?
To the stables to look for
the... No, stop him. You must stop him. He's in terrible danger.
Danger? Why?
Just stop him, please, you must.
Stop him!
Jupp, come back! Don't go in the stables! Come back! Come back! You're in grave danger!
What has happened? What the hell was that?
Jupp, an accident.
Miss Kingdom, Andrea, please phone for an ambulance.
Right.
Richard, come with me.
The ambulance men will have to send for lifting tackle.
Poor Rich can't have known much about it.
But why did he go in there, Mr. Pullen? I warned him. Why?
He wanted these.
What are they?
His Dury papers, the one Jupp thought Carey had burnt.
But how did he know they were there?
Carey told him.
Carey? When?
Just now. You won't believe this, but Carey actually appeared, spoke in the study 10 minutes ago, spoke to us through Queenie here.
Told us where the papers were hidden.
In Carey's Rolls Royce, in that special smokescreen device.
Such a violent way to go. I wouldn't have wished that on anyone. Not even a liar like Mr. Jupp. Well, he's in God's hands now.
Such a waste.
What do you mean?
All his papers were worthless. We'd checked. There's no truth at all in his theory about Duray being alive after his supposed death. Whoever sold him all this so-called evidence sold him duds.
15 years of his life for nothing.
Why? Why didn't he listen?
You really had no idea the papers were in there?
Of course not.
Then why were you so desperate to stop him going into the stables?
I noticed the other day that the wooden blocks supporting the rolls were rotten, riddled with Death Watch beetle.
It's Stretchy. In here, in the living room.
What are they doing here?
They're trying to lift up Carey's car.
Oh, my God. Is Peter underneath?
Peter?
Not Peter, no. Bloke called Jupp.
What made you think it was Peter?
My phone call. Surely
you were cut off.
So you don't know. Peter's in mortal danger. Where is he?
Asleep in his room.
You saw that?
Oh, my God.
But Andrea's been with him all the time. She only came out when Jupp screamed.
Yes, but he's alone now.
We must get to him immediately.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Come on. Miss Kingdom's right. Just pray we're not too late. He's been planning it for a long time.
Well, he's finally got him.
I bet Carey's hard his head up. Please! This has nothing to do with Carey. This is George. Bubbles. Bubbles is lonely and he wants Peter with him permanently.
I warned you. I did warn you.
Please, Miss Kingdom. We must just find Peter.
He's not in here. Oh, God, Richard, where is he? What happened to him? Peter!
He's not in the bathroom.
Oh, here. Try and clean his room.
Oh, Richard!
It'll be all right. No sign.
God, I'm a fool. It's obvious. The attic. Carey's study.
Oh, it's stifling in here.
That clock. George Pears died inside that clock. 37 years ago tonight.
Oh, no.
On the night before his 7th birthday. And tomorrow is your son's 7th birthday.
Oh, God.
It's all right. The key. The key, Mrs. Arnold. Where's the key?
In the door.
No, just...
I'll find it.
No time. Richard, come. Would you please stand back? Good. Go on. Good. Oh, thank God for this time. Richard, give me a hand.
Oh, Peter, is he really all right?
He will be once he has some air. Please stand back. Stand back. Mrs. Arnold, would you please help me? Put him in the chair. Here.
Peter. It's Mummy. Can you hear me?
You did come.
Of course I did.
My birthday, Mummy. Bubble said you'd forget. Said I had to go with him.
Peter, Where is Bubbles now?
Gone. So you ran away. Gone. Said he didn't want to play with me anymore. Ever.
Oh, I'm sorry, my darling. I'm sorry. But you're safe now. Safe with Mummy and Auntie Queenie.
Yes. It's a charming flat, Mr. Stretchy.
Charming.
And the parsnip wine? Delicious, wasn't it, John?
Delicious.
Well... there we are, the proofs of the latest Xavier White spy story. And your foreword, excellent.
Thank you.
Except for one thing, who did actually write this damn stuff?
The discarnate spirit of Carey Arnold.
Dearest possession by the ghost of Carey Arnold. It'll sell if we market it that way.
We can't, John, not when we know Carey couldn't write. But he did read Jupp's original version. And I now believe that it must have stayed locked in his memory.
So he did dictate this final version to Queenie?
Ah, yes. But with the last chapter amended to his own devising. One which kept his hero, Xavier White, alive. Kept himself alive. Spiritually. Hypotheses, but the only ones which fit the facts as I see them, Mrs. Arnold. Mrs. Pullen.
Forget it. It's still kind of strange to me, too.
Yes, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, how's Queenie?
She's in excellent health. She has no fears now that Bubbles is no longer with us.
You're quite sure he's left the house?
Neither Miss Kingdom nor I can find any evidence to the contrary. And there have been no new manifestations.
So George was responsible for everything?
Yes, the falling lights, breakages, and so on.
And he really wanted Peter to die?
I believe he wanted him as a companion even before he was born. He laid claim to Peter. But his real power, that came once Queenie discovered her talents. And from then on, his influence over Peter was complete.
He could control him through Queenie.
Turning him into a little monster.
A carbon copy of himself.
Ironic, isn't it? Peter told the truth and got punished for it.
Oh, quite deliberate, Richard. That alienated Peter from the adults, drew him closer to George, and made the Peter Pan philosophy of never growing up exceedingly appealing.
But Carrie was an adult. Why did George link with him?
Ah, a very perceptive observation, my dear. George and Carrie were two discarnate entities who came together through Queenie. But maybe neither was able to communicate to us without the other.
Well, they're both at rest now.
We must hope so.
Well, John and I must be going. Got to get these proofs to the printer. Do keep in touch, Mr. Strachey. And Richard, Andrea, every happiness for the future.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Meow.
Come in, Caliban. Meow. Come in, little boy.
Mrs. Pullen, my old battle-scarred Tomcat.
Hello, Caliban.
It's a dreadful creature, isn't it? And you know, these have been the most exciting few days I've had for years. It gives one the courage to go on, explore, keep an open mind. There was definitely some communication with the other world.
Mr. Strachey, why don't you open your wife's box? See what message she left.
Huh? I promised I would never open it until...
Until she communicated with you.
Yes. She always used to quote 5 words to me from Horace. I shall not altogether die. Beautifully simple in style and origin. I like to think that this is what is inside the box. But more than that, I like to think that one day she'll prove it. At least Caliban has several advantages over us, mere mortals. He has 9 lives to play with.
In The Ghost Writer by Geoffrey M. Matthews, dramatized from the novel by Diana Carter, Richard was played by John Rowe, Strachey, Nigel Stock, Queenie, Elizabeth Spriggs, Andrea, Francis Jeter, Lionel, Robert Edison, Mr. Jupp, John Turner, John Forbes, Simon Hewitt, Peter, Jill Lidston, Ada, Catherine Parr. The play was directed by Martin Jenkins.